in hopes to lift up God's name. We had the opportunity to take communion. We do that because we prepare for God, for Jesus Christ, to come back and rescue those who He died for. And we get a glimpse of Him, and we remember that His body was broken, and that He shed His blood for each one of us, that we could have hope, that we could have a life, that we could have a friendship, a relationship with God this morning. And my prayer is that everyone in this room has that hope this morning, has that confidence, because it can be a confidence. It doesn't have to be something that you waver on, that you're confused about. It can be a confidence, okay? This morning, we branch off. Last week, we began a series. We're in the middle of a series called Church Words, okay? And we come into this week, and I thought it was appropriate that this week we talk about heaven. Heaven is a church word that we use. Heaven is a reality, but it's something that we talk about, and yet there's no human words that could express the beauty of heaven. I want you all right now, just for a moment, close your eyes and think about heaven. Think about what comes to mind when you think about heaven. What do you see? What do you smell? What do you hear? This may sound silly, okay, but I want you to think, because some of us, we don't think about heaven very often. We don't know a lot about heaven, but I think it's important as Christians that because we're not created for this world, we're only in preparation for our heavenly home, that we think about heaven. The Bible says that we look forward to heaven because this is not our home. You can open your eyes. As young people, I don't think often that you think, I'm ready to go to heaven, you know. I'm ready to die. Raise your hand if you're ready to go out today, okay? You ready to go out today? Maybe some of you are, okay? Maybe some of you are, and I hope you don't feel that way, okay? But most of us this morning, as young people, we have a lot that we want to experience in life, okay? There's lots of things that we want to experiment with. There's lots of things that we want to try for the first time. There's someone you want to fall in love with. There's failures that you're going to make. Okay, some of those things we're going to learn from. Most of us this morning are not ready to go to heaven. We may be ready in the sense that we're going to make it, but we probably aren't as excited as some of your. Maybe your grandparents. Many of us know people, older people, who are so excited, and when they talk about heaven, and the reason why is because they've tasted of life. They've experienced what life has had to offer. They've lived the years. They've experienced the failures, the struggles, the pain, and they're ready. They know that their fulfillment, that they'll be complete when they meet God face to face in heaven. There's even a guy in the Bible. There's even a guy in the Bible that says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. So what he says is that, you know what? I'm in a tough spot. I'm in a bind. Part of me realizes that if I stay on earth, that if I continue to live, that I'm going to do great things for God. But at the same time, I know that if I die, it's going to be much better for me. It's going to be much more beautiful. It's going to be much more satisfying if I die. And that man, his name was Paul, the Apostle Paul. He said those words in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. He says those words. He says that, I desperately want to be with God. Now, I don't know if we feel that way this morning. I don't know that we yearn or we desire to be in heaven this morning, like Paul says those words, as young people. I don't think that's probably true most of the time. There may be times that you do. Okay, but most of the time that's not the case. Now I'm gonna make some efforts here to talk about heaven. Now we could talk about heaven from the moment we wake up until the moment we die and not do it justice. There's not human language that can describe heaven accurately. The Bible tells us some things about heaven. But in reality, the Bible actually talks more about hell than it does heaven. That's the truth this morning. Yet we're going to shed a little bit of light on heaven, because I think it's important that we know not only that we're going to heaven, but we also are excited about it and that we are longing for it. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you want to look underneath your chair, there's a Bible, should be. If not, then you look around. Some of you do, you brought your Bibles this morning. I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 21. And I only have a few moments to just dip into just getting a glimpse of heaven. And we turn in the book of Revelation. That's probably one of the most specific places that we can find that God's Word shows us a little bit, gives us a little glimpse, gives us a taste of what our life is if we've trusted Christ as our Savior beyond death in this world. Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. We'll stop in verse 4. I want you to look at chapter 22, starting in verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. There will be no need of light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Sarah, would you mind turning the heat off? Thank you. We look at Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22 just to get a glimpse of what heaven will be like. And there's a couple of myths, and maybe some of you have been caught up in these myths about heaven that too many people believe. Maybe some of your friends, maybe even some of your family members. The first myth is that everyone goes to heaven. Everyone goes to heaven. That God loves people so much that despite their wickedness, they're going to go to heaven no matter what. That's a myth. It simply isn't true. And the God of justice that's described in this book, he won't allow for it. Sin has to be punished. And we'll talk about that more next week. But it's in a wicked place called hell that's reserved for those who choose not to trust in Christ, the one and only Son of God, for salvation. The second thing is that, sadly enough, many Christians and non-Christians have painted this portrait of heaven where we just lay around on clouds. We play a harp all day, lounge with Cupid, hang out and sing hymnals all day long, old hymns, the old rugged cross. That's what we do all day long. And then it's a boring place. And for eternity, that's what it's going to amount to. Okay, sadly enough, that's true. That's what a lot of Christians have described heaven as being. And then there's other people who have bashed heaven, atheists, people who do not love God, people who hate God, that have tried to humiliate Christianity because they say that why would I want to spend an eternity in a place so boring as that? Why would I want to be in such a place that it's just redundant? It's the same thing over and over. If there's any such boredom in heaven, that place has nothing to do with God. I say that with confidence. Anything that has to do with God should not be boring. Should not be boring. And I'm sorry if I bore you at times, okay? That's for me to improve on, okay? I think about that this morning. But anything of God should be exciting because God is exciting. He loves you desperately this morning. So we're so limited in our thinking about heaven. I think the Bible has things to say about heaven, but yet it leaves it up for us to find out when it's unveiled, when we meet God face to face. I think it's good that the Bible doesn't paint this picture that shows us every specific thing about heaven, because we long for it so much more when we don't know. We long for the unknown. In your life, you long for things that you don't know. Okay, you were meant for another world, not this one. And so we long for that. The first fact, okay, we just talked about some myths. The first fact is that heaven is God's dwelling place. In chapter 21, verse 3, heaven is a place where God dwells. That means that's where God fills the space. He takes up all the space. Isaiah, in chapter 6, he describes heaven. He gets a vision of heaven, and he says that God's train of his robe. Okay, you think about a wedding dress, the train. The train of God's robe fills the temple. It completely consumes the temple. That means that you could not get away from God's presence if you tried. You could not get to a place where you could not see him. His glory and his presence would cover everything. And there's no way that you could turn your head or look left or right and see anything that does not have anything to do with God. The author of the trees, the author of human beings, the author of everything that we know to exist on earth when it comes to the creation. This is the God we're describing. This is his dwelling place. The God who created you, that David described, you knew me in my mother's womb. You wove my inner parts. You think about the human body, how amazing it is and how everything is orchestrated and works together. The fact that we have to have something called oxygen to survive, something that we can't see. God set it up that way. We're talking about this God. This is his house, heaven, his dwelling place. And you know, I don't try this morning to act like I know what heaven is going to be like. I don't want to try to tell you that, you know, I've got this all figured out, because honestly, I don't know, but I just know it's going to be awesome. I know it's got to be really sweet, okay, beyond anything that we could ever find satisfaction in. Anything that you're longing for on earth to meet that need, heaven is going to be so much more than that. You're going to be so content. You're going to be so happy. You're going to be so joyous before God. So fact number one is the fact that God's dwelling place is in heaven. It's where he fills the space. It's where he dwells. He lives. Number two, heaven is a place of no pain. We don't know what that's like. We all experience pain. Some of you experience pain because trust has been broken. People have broken your trust. Some of you experience pain because a family member has been murdered or has died. Okay, you all have experienced pain. There's things in our life. There's cancer. We could go on and on and on. We know, probably everyone in this room knows someone suffering from cancer. And it hurts. It really hurts. But heaven is a place of no pain. In chapter 21, verse 4, the Bible says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed. The pain that you experience in this world will no longer exist in heaven. What an amazing thing to think about. People die. People suffer through sickness, cancer, those things we talked about. There's widows, and widowers that have lost their husband or their wife, that live in loneliness. That won't be the case anymore. The things that we long for in this earth, the things that we want to find satisfaction in, won't even come across our minds, because we'll be totally satisfied in being in the presence of God and realizing that there's no more pain, no more suffering. Fact three, number three, heaven is a place where God's face will be seen. I don't know about you all this morning, but I want to be close to God. I want to know what it's like to experience God in my life. I want to know what it's like to do great things for God. I want to know what it's like to make an impact for God. We strive so hard in this world. We want to know more about God, yet it's sometimes hard. Sometimes we pursue Him and we feel like He's not showing up, or there's things in our life that gets us distracted. But we just catch a glimpse of Him and we realize, wow, He changed my life. I know that he means more than anything in this world. But in heaven, His face will be seen clearly by everyone. We'll be able to see His face. And not only that, but His face will be the light that's provided. There will no longer be a sun for the light. God's face will shine so brightly that it will consume the environment. There'll be no more night. That His face, that He shines so brightly, that He provides the light for us in heaven. You know, darkness is the absence of light. There'll be no such thing. The absence of light is the definition of darkness. Yet God, in His supremacy, He is light. He is good in its essence. That word good, we use that word so often. God could be summed up in that word in its truest form, good. He is all good. Guys, I think this morning of my dad. My dad would have, he tomorrow will make 9 years ago he died. 9 years ago. And it was 3 days after my birthday. I was 14 years old. I think about him and I miss him. I miss him a lot. I would give anything just to be able to sit down with him, you know, at the kitchen table and have a cup of coffee. Have a conversation. Ask him about what he thinks of me as a man. I'd love to sit down with him and just talk with him when things are going rough, when life stinks, when I don't know what I'm going to do about this or what I'm not going to do about that. I'd like him to meet Sarah. I would like him to know my kids that I'm going to have in the future. I'd love to give him a big hug and tell him that I love him. But I can't do that this morning. But I know that he's in heaven. I know for a fact, because he trusted Christ. He found his satisfaction in God and God alone. He was distracted by the things of the world, but he knew. I remember seeing him read his Bible. We didn't talk a lot about the things of God because he got caught up in life. But he tried so hard to provide for me, my family, my mom, my brother. That's what consumed him. But I know for a fact that I'm going to see him someday. And I have hope in that. And you all can have hope in that. Not only is heaven God's dwelling place, not only is heaven the place where there's no more pain, and not only is heaven a place where God's face will be seen, but so will those people that have gone on before us, that have trusted God, those who have loved God with their whole hearts. Not only will I see my dad, but I'll see my Heavenly Father. Some of you guys don't have dads in your life. But there's this perfect Father who loves you more than your human dad ever could. More than my dad ever could. And I know he loved me so much. More than I could ever know, probably. He would have given his life for mine. But my Heavenly Father, he did give his life for mine. And he gave his life for you this morning. If you would, just stand for a moment. Stand. Please stand. We all this morning want our family, our friends, our neighbors to join us in heaven. Okay, and we talk about that word. We use that word heaven. And I hope that we don't think this morning that heaven is a place that everyone's going. That heaven is this place where every person that we know is headed towards that direction. Because that's not the truth. You guys heard this past week about Steve Jobs, the CEO of Apple, Macintosh technology, you know, Apple, iPod, all those kinds of things. He changed the world because of an iPod. He changed the world because of an iPhone, because of technology. Yet he was a Buddhist. As I speak right now, he's not in heaven if that's the case.